Grace to all of you and peace from God, our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. So preparing for this week's message was sort of interesting because I was realizing that I might not ever be able to give it. I could have written it all out, gotten it all practiced and everything, and no one would have heard a word of it. Why? Because Jesus could come again. And I thought, all this work, and it could be for nothing. But this could happen at any moment. And when Jesus comes again, everything is going to change. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and everything on this old earth, including a sermon that you're probably at this point going to get to hear, it would have suddenly become very obsolete very quickly. During Advent, we are normally talking about preparing to celebrate Christmas, preparing for Jesus' birth to celebrate that. But it's also the time in not just our church, but in the church in general, where we talk about the hope we have that Jesus is going to come again. So while we're preparing for Jesus' birth, we're also preparing to never celebrate Christmas again on this earth. It's kind of weird, that juxtaposition. But this is an important connection, and I hope by the end of today's message, you'll have a better understanding of why. Martin Luther believed that every Christian struggled with unbelief, and that this unbelief kind of had two responses. Either we became prideful and self-righteous, or we despaired. We became anxious and depressed. When faced with the law of God, any one of the many thou shalt or thou shalt not, all those commands that we're supposed to do, we have a tendency to either be like, yeah, I'm really good at that. We become self-righteous. We're like, pretty amazing, aren't I? Or we start to believe, well, it's just impossible. I can't do it. I'm never going to be saved. God can't help somebody as bad as me. But I believe that this promise of the new heaven and a new earth can help us confront both of these responses. And I want to start with the sin of pride, or that response that we have. When we don't trust in God, sometimes we end up trusting in ourselves. How does the promise of this new heaven and new earth, how does that deal with this issue? Well, let me put it this way. If there really is going to be a new heaven and a new earth one day, your house becomes a lot less important. This is an example. The house that maybe you built and designed, or the house that you looked for years to try to find the perfect one, or the house that you spent 30 years sacrificing to pay off the mortgage, or the house that was handed down after four generations, that's not eternal. It's only temporary, okay? And so it's not going to last forever. And when Jesus comes again, you're going to have to give it up. And this is true about lots of things in our life that we really care about, like our car isn't going to last forever. Our jobs aren't going to last forever. Our 401k not going to last forever. Your health isn't going to last forever. Your looks aren't going to last forever. Your favorite football team isn't going to be there anymore. All these things are temporary because there's going to be a new earth, and everything on the old earth is going to be done. All those things that took our attention away all the time, it's going to be gone. It's only temporary, and I think it can be a sobering thought. I mean, even if I spent 40 hours a week just working on my sermon, that could be the week where I never give it. I'm not saying giving the sermon isn't important, but maybe I shouldn't be spending so much time and energy on just that one thing that's kind of temporary. And maybe you could each come up with something in your own life that maybe you spend an inordinate amount of time on that maybe is kind of a lot more temporary than you might realize. The billionaire Malcolm Forbes 500 list comes from him. Anyway, this guy, he's quoted as saying, "He who dies with the most toys wins." Have you heard that before? Malcolm Forbes is the guy who said it. But the hope of a new heaven and a new earth reminds us that having the most toys just means that you get to leave the most toys behind. Really. You can't take them with you, after all. And Jesus makes this point a lot of different places, but the one place I looked at this week was Luke chapter 10, where he talks about this parable of a rich man who builds bigger barns to store all his possessions so he can just have a great time at the end of his life. And God says to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get all that you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God." Again, there's nothing wrong with having money. It's just, where are our priorities? Are we putting our priorities in things that are eternal, like God, or in things that are temporary, like money? But it's not just our possessions that we're going to leave behind. We're going to leave behind our plans and our projects. And we hear this sentiment all over the place in Scripture, like the book of James. "Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we're going to do this or that, or go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that." Just kind of puts it in perspective, you know? Like, our plans are temporary. I'll always think back to March of 2020 when I was looking at my April schedule and it was so full, and then all of a sudden it was so empty. And that could happen at any moment, especially when Jesus comes again. All those things you thought were so important, suddenly they just don't seem to matter much at all. Or what about this from Proverbs? "In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." So one day Jesus is going to come again. One day there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Will you wish you spent more time at work? Or mowing the lawn? Or cleaning the house? Or doing God's work while you still have time to do it? Recently, I ran across an article written by a guy named Travis Agnew that brought up an issue that I'll bet you a lot of parents here, especially if your kids are a little older, that you have thought about and that you've faced. But it can bring up, I think, serious questions for everybody, whether you happen to have children at this stage or not. Agnew writes, "I know that you think your kid is special. I am sure that he or she is. Every child has unique gifting. And biased or not, your child is special. However, regardless of how gifted your kid is, there is a 0.0296% chance that your child will become a professional athlete. Yet there is a 100% chance that your child will stand before Jesus one day. And yet, as parents, what percentage of our time are we investing into those two scenarios? Athletics is a great place for developing athletes, and church is a great place for making disciples. So where will the focus be?" I just think that's such a, it's really important. I don't know how else to say it better. Like, every one of us is going to be facing Jesus one day, but what are we spending our time preparing for? Sometimes that's not it. It's for something else. Jesus is going to come again. He is coming. This is the sure thing. The old earth is going to pass away. So what are we doing to prepare for that day? So I've talked about this pride thing, where we can start focusing on ourselves so much instead of God. But there's another way that this can lead. We tend to fall into the sin of despair. We just think, God can't help us anymore, which is actually a sin. I mean, to not believe that he can take care of that. And it leads to all kinds of destructive behavior. We start to believe that the world is in such a terrible state that it's never going to get any better. We start to believe that our situations, our personal life, is so incredibly difficult and complicated that God can't or won't do anything that could ever change it. But the hope of a new heaven and a new earth promises us that nothing is impossible with God. He does care about you. He is paying attention to you. And one day, Scripture says, he will wipe every tear from our eyes. that there will be no more death or mourning or pain, for the old order of things, the things we're used to, the temporary things, the old order of things will have passed away. And I think that's good news for us who despair over the suffering of our loved ones. We wonder, why is this person having to suffer? Or when we become overwhelmed by the distress of people in the world, you look out on or you watch the news and you say, you know, there's two wars going on and I can't do anything about it. It just seems like it's getting worse. Or for people that worry about what's going to happen to our planet, you know, the environment. What's going to happen to my, you know, my grandkids? We worry about this thing and we just don't know what to do. God has something to say about this. In the Gospel of John says, I have told you these things so that in me, you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. The good news is that the pain and the suffering of this old world is not eternal. It's not. That's only temporary. So when we despair of it, it's like we're forgetting about what God can do. That all this temporary suffering is going to come to an end. That there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and Jesus will return. There's a great scripture reading that I thought of too late to put in the message. But it's really good. It comes from Isaiah chapter 35. It says, strengthen the feeble knees, or the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Okay? This promise of a new heaven and a new earth, this promise that Jesus is going to come again, it's a promise for us that he will save us. We don't have to be afraid of what this world can do to us. So the promise of a new heaven and a new earth, it can be a challenge to us, and it can be a comfort. And Jesus gives this advice. He says, watch, you know, keep watch, be ready. Why does he say that? Well, it could be heard both as a warning and it can just be a reminder of never giving up hope. That no matter how difficult the circumstances, there's always hope. And I just wonder, how have you heard the promise today? How have you heard this? Is it a challenge to you to reprioritize your life? Or is it a reminder that you can rely on God no matter what your circumstances? Maybe you heard it a little bit of both. But if you knew Jesus was coming again today, how would your life change? How would your attitude about your life change? And I just say, why not make those changes now? Because you just don't know. Tomorrow may be too late. And if you're just anxious, constantly depressed about the threats of tomorrow, about what could happen, how would that change if you knew Jesus was going to come again today and you didn't have to worry about it anymore? Perhaps you could just learn to enjoy your life and trust that actually Jesus will handle it in his time, but he'll take care of everything. You could just be still and know that he's God. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. Jesus will come again, maybe today, tomorrow, next week, next year, 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now. I don't know when. I just know that it will happen. Whenever it happens, whenever Jesus will come again, we need to be ready, and we can be watchful, and we can be hopeful for that day, because he promises that he's always not only with us, but that he is going to come and be with us forever. That the things of this world are just temporary, the good and the bad. But our faith in Jesus Christ and his presence with us will be eternal. Amen.